Morning number two. Good to see everyone. Time to begin our worship service this morning. We're singing today out of Highway Heavenly Hymn, second edition. It's in your church pews there. If you'd like to join the song and read it, it's number 181. It's our church song. We sing it all the time. Would you please stand and let's reverence our Lord this morning. There's something about that name. Number 181. Amen.
For me? I didn't get to sit down. Good morning, everybody. It's good to see each and every one out today. Glad to have our visitors with us today. We are so thankful that you have come to be with us today. I know a lot of you did the smart thing and you came to see the kids perform. That was the smart thing. But we are very glad that you're smart enough to stay for our service today. And we just pray that this service will be what the Lord would have it to be today. It'd be a good day to see somebody get saved, wouldn't it? And that's what we are always hopeful for. And we should be prayerful for it. Praying that God would truly bless us in a very great, great way is what we want to try to do. We are thankful for each one that's come this way. I will say this. We are going to have lunch this afternoon after our service. The food will be here about 11:30 this morning. So it'll take them a few minutes to get that ready. So I've been told to be long-winded today. Y'all in trouble. No, I'm just kidding about that part. But we just pray that we can be what God would have us to be today in this service. And I'm just praying that the Lord will see fit just to give us a good, good day. Got a bunch more coming in. Brother Key, you already sung two or three more. It is good for us to be here today. I'm trying to give everybody a chance to get in and get settled down. before we go on. The kids have already performed today, so we're not going to do children's church today. And with that, we're going to be going on into our service today. And so let's start out by going into having a prayer here in a few minutes. And we always try to give an opportunity for those that might have needs. Maybe you know somebody that has a need for prayer. So has anybody got a prayer request upon your heart this morning? Yeah. Tanya is an old friend of ours that has got cancer, and do remember her in this time here. Somebody else? We've still got several that are sick. We want to keep them on our hearts and in our prayers. And this is the Christmas season. And so some of our members, our older ones that would love to be here this morning, are not able to. So let's say a special prayer for them this morning for this Christmas time, and pray that the Lord would give them an extra blessing today for the Christmas season. Anybody else? Yeah. Let's do remember Joey, Brother Joey's family. They are, they've had the flu bug, whatever it is. And like Sister Heather said, and we're glad Sister Heather's back. She's been missing because of no voice and not feeling well. But also we want to remember the Wilburn family here. Good to see Sister Kendra back with us today. I wanted to mention that. She had heart surgery a couple of weeks ago, and we're just tickled death to see her back with us today. Somebody else got a prayer request? Appreciate each and every one that's come out for our service today, and let's just ask the Lord to be in our service today. We'll call on one to start our prayer today, but we want everybody to pray in your own way. Whether you pray out loud or pray quietly, that's okay. Just pray is what we ask you to do. Brother Stewart, if you would you start our prayer, please?
Let's continue our music this morning. Number 151, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. We'll sing some Christmas songs. We've got a real special for you in just a minute, and we look forward to that. Number 151, Hark the Herald Angels Sing.
Thank you.
number 208. Number 208. You know, here on this side of eternity, when a child is born, family and friends rush to go see him. And as I was studying for the songs this week, this song came to mind. It's an old song. Been singing it ever since I was a child, and if you're my age, you have too. Oh, I want to see him. Come on, number 208, first and last verse. For us this morning. Sarah Kate, would you come? Come and sing for us. Do your song. We're all going to sing along with her, but she's going to lead us in a special song this morning that she did during Sunday school, and what a blessing that it was. Okay? All right.
Sister Janice playing for us again today. We're glad she's able to be back with us again today, and appreciate her playing for us today. I mentioned earlier that we will be having lunch after our service today. This is our Christmas dinner, I guess is what we're going to call it. The church is providing it, and if you are visiting with us today, stay. We want you to stay and just take part in our fellowship today. And just enjoy the food and just pray that the Lord will bless in that way. We'll be getting to that just in a little while. The Lord's provided for us and we're providing for you today. So we want everybody to stay and take part of the meal. Now, when we dismiss, you'll notice that the doors are shut to the kitchen area. And the reason for that is so the ladies can get everything laid out and put in place. And just as soon as that is done, they'll open it up and then everybody can go on in. At the end of the service, we'll do our dismissal prayer, but we'll just have our prayer of blessing also. But One thing I do want us to say about this, let's don't leave the Lord out of this service. Let's don't get in our minds that we want to get to the meal and we're looking forward to the meal and to the fellowship and everything first, that we forget about Jesus. I listened to a man this week on the radio. He said, I remember when I was a boy, he said, the teacher brought a new spelling for Christmas. And he said they put an X instead of Christ. And he said, as a kid, I liked that because I didn't have to spell out the entire word. He said, later on, I realized that they were taking Christ out of Christmas. And he said, I went to putting it back in. He said, we should never leave Christ out of Christmas. And that's what we're doing here today. We are to worship the Lord tonight, today in this service, first and foremost. It is a good and special day. We enjoyed the kids this morning, their program, and the songs that they sung. We enjoyed all of that. But if we forget to worship the Lord, we failed. Because that's what He is due, is our worship today. So let's worship today in this service. We are glad to have each and every one with us today. And I hope and pray that we can all be about the Lord's business in this service today. Does anybody have a word of testimony or anything on your heart? I'm going to take my reading lesson today like the kids did out of the third chapter of Luke. The theme of the message of the play this morning is going right along with my message today. Now, the theme of the message this morning, it was telling the story of the birth of Christ from the innkeeper's perspective, I think was the way they said it this morning. And the innkeeper kept coming out and saying, I didn't realize, I didn't know that it was the Messiah. That was a good line, by the way. What would you have done in that case? Let me ask you that. What would you have done in that case? You know, I think a lot of times about Peter, you know, in his failings. That's what most people will bring up. You know, Peter walked on water, but he got so far and then he started sinking because he lost sight of Jesus. What would you have done? A lot of people says, well, the other disciples didn't even get out of the boat. No, a lot of people says in the denial of the Lord. Well, surely I wouldn't have denied the Lord if I'd seen all of that. But he did. It all built up to make him a better man, didn't it? A better preacher for Christ. You see, everything that we go through, it makes us a better servant for the Lord. And today, that's not exactly where this message is going, but I want you to keep that in your minds today. As I said, I'm taking my reading lesson from Luke, the second chapter. And it says in the first verse, and it came to pass that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judah unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she would be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, my thought today is going to be that last phrase, no room. No room, but the idea of this no room is to ask you the question, have you made room for Jesus today? That's the main thing we want to do today. We want to make room for Jesus today. As I said earlier, it's important today for us to worship the Lord. We are to give glory unto Him. We aren't to be saying hallelujah to the great God Almighty, who hath given us a great plan of salvation. We aren't to be thinking about Him instead of Christmas presents, because Jesus was the greatest present that was ever given to us. But the idea is for us today is to try to remember to make room for the Lord. Now, I'm going to give you a little rendition and short rendition. I'll say that. Hadn't thought about this, so I may get this wrong. But an old country music star by the name of Grandpa Jones did a little Christmas recitation years ago. A lot of the older ones are shaking their head. They remember this. And what it was, there was an old man who didn't have any family left, and didn't have much of anything left. But the fact of the matter is, his friends came to see him and they were surprised to find his shop all aglow. It was decorated. It was fixed up. It was made ready. And they said, "Why are you having such a program? Why is everything like this? We expected you to be down. Your family was gone. Everything that you had was gone. Why are you like this?" He said, "I got a message for the Lord, from the Lord today. He was coming to see me. He was going to spend Christmas Day with me. So I've made ready everything that I could. I've cleaned. I've gotten the house, the place just exactly the way that it should be for him. I prepared the best food for him." Now, I'm not going to go into the entire part of the rendition of that, but the idea that I want you to get in your minds today is getting your house ready. Have you made ready for Jesus today? Have you asked him into your house? Have you made ready for him to come? Well, I'm going to just refer back to my mother. It didn't matter. She knew that there was going to be company coming to the house. Oh, Lord have mercy. I'll be honest. As a kid, I despised those times. Because when mother was expecting company, it was, "Ricky, you go do this. Don't you do that, but get this done. Now you do this part here because I'm taking care of this matter here. Do this, do that. Mother, leave me alone." Have you been there? Are we ready for Jesus, though? Have we invited him in to us this week? Have we invited him to our Christmas service? Have we invited him into our Christmas celebrations? Most of the time, Christmas is about family, isn't it? That's a good thing. It always was with my family. We got together, my mother's family, my daddy's family, and all of the kids and everybody, and we just, people we didn't see, but one time a year, we got to see them during the Christmas time. And that's a great thing, but the greatest thing that there is today is to have Jesus to come and be with us in that way. Today I want us to think about a few things, though, as far as Jesus being inside of us. Have you asked Jesus to be inside of you? I think the majority of the people here today have asked at one time or another for Jesus to come into their heart, to say, "Lord, please save me. Lord, I need you with me. Lord, whatever your prayer might have been. Lord, I don't want to be left alone. I know that you'll be right there with me, Lord. I know that's what Jesus wants to hear out of our mouths today. But I want us to remember a few things today, that it is important for us to keep in mind that Jesus wants us to want him. How many times have you went somewhere, maybe a little bit unannounced, and really the people that you came to see did not want you there? You ever done that? Oh, uncomfortable feeling, right? They had other things on their mind. See, Jesus wants us to want him. Have you made a place for him to come in, is the question. Now, I want us to get a couple of verses here, and this comes from Psalms, the 132nd chapter. And if you look at these two verses, it says to us something that we need to keep in mind. It says, I will not give sleep to mine eyes or slumber to my eyelids until I find out a place for the Lord. That is a great thought in mind. When that we are talking about the Lord coming into our hearts, when we're talking about the Lord being one that abides with us and stays with us, it ought to be something that we desire more than anything. Most of us, when it comes to the time of sleep and we start getting weary enough, our eyes get heavy. But when you really want something bad, then you keep your eyes open. You keep wanting it more than anything else. Actually, until, as the writer said, until I find a place for my Lord. That's the part that we want to get over to you today. It's important for us to want him more than anything else, more than anything that would keep us awake at night. We would want him to be abiding inside of us. Would you want it to be just exactly like the Lord had intended for it to be? I want to keep in mind today a few more verses on our hearts today as we continue to look at these things. If I can get my Bible to turn to the right place, is what we'll get in mind here today. It is important for us to remember the condition of our heart. You remember what I said about my mother when the company was coming. She wanted everything clean. It always was clean, but it was going to be extra clean, was what it was going to be. She was not going to be able to find any dust anywhere. She was not going to be able to find anything on the floor that was not supposed to be on the floor. In our hearts, it's important for us to keep in mind that we've got to get our hearts to the proper place. Now, in the book of Isaiah, in the 57th chapter, and this is a verse that talks about the Lord coming in and what he's looking for. He said, for thus, the 15th verse says, for thus saith the high and lofty one, the Lord himself, that inhabiteth eternity. Remember, the Lord is an eternal being. He said, whose name is holy. He says, I dwell in the high and holy place. That's what the way we think about where the Lord lives. In heaven, in that wonderful place, in that place that is high and holy, in that heavenly place that is so wonderful that we think inside of us, how could we ever be worthy to live there in that place? But that's the promise that he has made to us. But what about us here? and having the Lord living inside of us, having a place. Now, this is the way that verse ends. He says, with him also that is also of a contrite and humble spirit. The contrite means a broken spirit. He wants us to get to that place where we are broken. And what it means to be broken is to be in a state where that we know we can't do anything about our salvation. We can't do anything ourselves about our righteousness. Our righteousness, the Bible tells us in the book of Isaiah, is as a filthy rag. You men that do any kind of work, there's times you have a grease rag, as we call them, and you just keep wiping your hand on it. You get it oily, you get it dirty, and eventually you look at that thing and you say, that's not worth anything else. It goes in the trash, right? It's to be cast away. And that is the way that our righteousness is. Most people have in their minds, they're going to be like my mother. They're going to have their house. I'm talking about our spiritual house here. But she had in mind her house was going to be immaculate. No dust, no dirt, nothing out of place. And that's the way that people tend to be. But the idea that God wants to see out of us is a broken heart and a contrite spirit. That contrite spirit being broken into that place where that we can't do it for ourselves. That's the humbleness that comes in. Our house must be swept. It must be garnished. It must be cleaned up completely. But if God is going to dwell in the high and lofty place, he's going to fix it himself. And that comes through the blood of Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ is the only thing that will hide our sin. Our righteousness will not hide our sin. Our good works will not hide our sin. Our good behavior will not hide our sin. But the Bible tells us that the blood of Christ will cover a multitude of sins. Actually, it'll cover every single sin. And it tells us that it washes us whiter than snow. We haven't seen a snow yet, have we? I always enjoy watching how God covers up the dark brown grass. Sometimes it's the bare ground. And it looks ugly if we really think about it. But God covers it with snow. And he makes it white and pure and clean. And because of that, God covers it. You see, when that we come to God in that humble spirit, with that broken heart, that contrite spirit, then what he says in that 15th verse, he said to revive the spirit of the humble to revive the heart of the contrite one. A broken heart, that's our soul. It's broken. When people have a heart attack and the paramedics or the nurses or the doctors come in and that person is almost at the point of death, what do? They revive the person is what they call it. Now they have their works that they do to do that. But Jesus said, they that are whole need not a physician. But they that are broken, those that are sick, those that are in need, those that need Jesus in them, they need the Lord and they need to be revived is what they need. And by the very fact that he is reviving them, he gives them life. Have you made a place for Jesus? Have you done it yourself? Or did you just say, Lord, you come, you make it the house what you want it to be? My mother wouldn't ever allow that with her house. She wouldn't have. She would have went ahead and said, no, I've done got everything in place. I've watched my aunts as they came in. Edith, what can I do for you? What can I do to help you? She says, don't worry about it. I've got it all taken care of. You see, that's what Jesus does. When we invite him into our house, into our soul, you know what he does? He revives us. He cleans it up himself. He makes it clean and whole. Puts it into a position where that he can come in and live and abide there. He that dwelleth in the high and lofty place makes a place that is clean and pure and makes it where that he can abide in our soul. Yes, in our soul is what he can do. You see, all of this is preparation for another day. You see, the Bible tells us that there is coming a day, if we can get our Bible to turn, that there is coming a day, and I'll refer to the 21st chapter of the book of Revelation in the third verse. And what he says, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. What is a tabernacle? Now, a tabernacle was a tent. You remember when Moses and the children of Israel left Egypt? You know what they lived in? Tents. They called them tabernacles. But they made a special place, one special place for the Lord, didn't they? They took they built another tent out of natural things. And they made that tent for a house of God. On the outside, it really didn't look that great, to be honest with you. It had badger skin on the outside. And you might say, is that the badgers we know? No, it wasn't. It was actually what they used for shoe soles. And the shoe soles that they used, they carried it so that they could make new shoes for them. But they used it for the purpose of the Lord's house. And when they used it for the Lord's house, the Lord said, your shoes will not wear out. So if you go back and you look in the writings about the children of Israel, it tells you in one place that their shoes never wore out. Why? Because they didn't have nothing to make more shoes out of. Because they used it for God. But that tabernacle, as it sat out there in the desert, there in the wilderness, as they wandered around for over 40 years, and they wandered around in that place, ever so often they would go in and set that tabernacle up, and the Spirit of God would come down, and it would dwell in that tabernacle. That tabernacle was a special place for God. On the inside, it had cunning works of art, we would say. There was embroidery. There was gold. There was silver. Everything that man saw as valuable. And it was pure. It could have nothing impure about it. You see, when God comes to dwell with you, he makes it pure. Because he's going to dwell inside of you. Have you made a place for him today? You see, one of the things that the children of Israel had to do when they made that tabernacle, they had to make it where God could come in. They had to prepare it to the very best of their ability. I never thought of this before. The gold that they used, they had earrings. They broke them off their ears. They broke off their bracelets. They broke off things to prepare the beautiful things on the inside. He said, I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. You see, we're getting to a day. We live down here in this world, and there's times, yeah, we've got the Lord inside of us, we that have been saved. But the thing about it is, there's coming a day when we'll not only have him on the inside, but we'll be able to see him face to face. Moses asked to see the face of God, but all he got to see was his hinder parts. But we'll get to look upon the Lord, because he's going to dwell with us in that place. We'll be able to look upon our God who made the plan of salvation that we might be saved. We'll be able to look upon Jesus, the Son of God, who was born of that virgin in that day. We'll be able to look upon Jesus, the one who lived his life like he did, so that we could be saved, that he died on the cross for us. And as Brother Sam said earlier, and the most important part was that he arose from the grave. We'll get to look upon that Holy Spirit that's been influencing us all these years. I don't know what he looks like. I don't know what God looks like. I don't know what Jesus looks like. But I know he's going to be beautiful. And I'm going to get to see him there. But have you made a place for Jesus? You see, the rest of that verse says this, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. You see, the most important part about having a place for Jesus is here, in this, having God as your God. That's the most important part about it. Do you have God Almighty as your God? Or do you have another thing as your God? Have you made a place for Jesus? Now, in the children's program this morning, the innkeeper said, I have a barn outside. And hope you may have to help me out with this. And he sent them off to the barn. And then she said, if I'd known it was the Messiah, if I'd have known it was Jesus, I'd made a better place for him. Let's make a place for Jesus today. If you're here today and you're not saved, you need to make that place. If you're here today and you're saved and you've been putting everything else in the way, you need to make a place for Jesus. Yeah, he's living with you, but you're holding him down. You're holding him back. He can help you so much more. While we stand and sing today, think about these things. If you're here today and you're lost, these altars are here so that you can come and pray. It's a convenient place, but you don't have to be there to pray. You can pray in your seat. If you're here and you're saved and you need to make more room for Jesus, it's a good place to pray for you too. It's a good place for all of us to pray. And we are to take that opportunity while we stand and sing.